So I think we're re-established now, so I'll begin again. If you're sitting comfortably, I'll begin again. Last week, Pentecost, the celebration of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the church's birthday, and we began this series, Walking in the Spirit. And the idea is the whole of the 6 weeks or so that we're doing here is about this walk that we have with the Lord, and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives to help us in this walk. So last week we talked about getting dressed. So before we actually start walking, we need to get dressed. And that was about knowing who we are in Christ and what is ours in Christ. We're children of God. If you remember, we talked about last week, that gives us forgiveness and freedom. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we can walk in confidence. And this week, we're still thinking really about before we embark on our walk. I'm thinking about downloading directions. I've got an app on my phone. My phone's over there, so I can't show you. But it's an OS map, Ordnance Survey app. And others are available, I understand, as well. But the idea is you get the map out from whereabouts you are, whatever part of the country you're in. And you ask it for suitable walks, and it comes up with a whole bunch of suitable walks, all sort of carefully marked out for you. It shows you, you pick the one you want, and then you set out, and the app guides you. And you can be walking along, and perhaps you've missed a stile or whatever, and from the depths of your pocket comes this voice. You misdirection, it's American, misdirection, recalculating, and that kind of thing, and put you back on the right direction. I just find it amazing, don't you, that there's a satellite up there somewhere, and I'm hooked into this satellite, as I'm sure, you know, thousands of other people must be. Don't you find that incredible? And it's watching me, it knows where I am, and it can guide me on the right path when I go astray. And of course, it's even more amazing, isn't it, that actually we can be tuned in to God, and He's tuned into us. We have this connection with Him for the walk that we have through life. And He corrects us when we go astray. He guides us, He leads us, He speaks to us and corrects us when we go astray. Now, I know you can't compare the Almighty God to an app. We can't limit Him in that way. But here's an illustration of that simple truth, isn't it? Of that connection and of how He speaks and guides us through our walk in life. He has a plan for our lives, a destination for us, a direction for us to get there. And He speaks and guides and corrects along the way. So the question for us today is, how can we download these directions? Or to put it in another more spiritual way, how can we hear God's voice in our life? How do we discern His direction in our lives? Well, just before we zoom in on how, just a few scripture passages, really. Not so much on the how, but on the who. It's obviously God who is speaking to us, but He does so through His Holy Spirit. So a couple of scriptures. First is John chapter 16, verses 13 to 14, which I think for those of us in the building, John will put up on the screen there. This is Jesus at the Last Supper, speaking to His disciples, preparing them for His departure, but for the Holy Spirit coming, as Rain spoke about earlier on. He said this, John 16, verse 13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. By taking from what is Mine, said Jesus, and making it known to you. That's how the Holy Spirit is that intermediary, if you like, from God to our hearts. The second passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Paul here is comparing man's wisdom with God's wisdom. He's saying we get the former, man's wisdom, from the world around us, but we get the latter, God's wisdom, through the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts. And he says this, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Again, this link, this connection with the God of the ages by his Spirit into our hearts, revealing what he has for us. And just a third passage of scripture, doesn't mention the Holy Spirit here, but talk about Jesus. It's John chapter 10. He's speaking two of the I am sentences about the good shepherd and the gate. And he's speaking about a shepherd. He says this, and I love these words. The watchman opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So just a quick summary of those passages. We've established the principle, I hope, that God speaks to us. You know, we don't walk alone on this journey. We're not left to fend for ourselves. He speaks to us by his Spirit, communicating with our spirit. And we'll see the methods he uses in just a moment. But what we read here tells us that what he communicates to us is his truth, God's truth, the deep things of God, his thoughts, his ways, his wisdom, which of course are all higher than our ways and greater than our human wisdom. He imparts to us the truth about God and the truth that we can live by. And that third passage, that John chapter 10 passage, which I just love, tells us that we can distinguish between God's voice and all the other voices that clamour for our attention in the world. The picture is of a sheep holding pen. Later on he talks about the times when the shepherd is out with the sheep in the fields, and the shepherd will lie across the door of the pen to keep the wild animals at bay. But here we're talking about a bigger pen on the outskirts of town, where lots of shepherds have brought their sheep and they're all gathered within this pen, all mixed within this pen. And there's a watchman over this, so the shepherd can go home and have a good night's sleep. But in the morning, the shepherd will come, the watchman will let him in, and the shepherd calls his sheep. In those days, the sheep were probably kept for wool more than for meat, and so there'd be a long-term relationship. He'd know his sheep, he'd call them by name, and his sheep would know his voice and follow him out of the pen and into pasture. It's just a lovely illustration, isn't it? He knows us. He knows our names. We have this relationship with him. We know him. We know his voice. We follow him and none other. If people sometimes say, I've heard this question this week, how do I know that it's God speaking and not my own fancies, not my own whims? Well, the answer from this passage is that if he's speaking to you, and if you're in this relationship with him, shepherd and sheep, then you'll know. Have you ever answered the phone? And the voice says, "Hello, Ian," and they launch into this conversation while you're still trying to work out who it is on the other end of the phone. Well, maybe it's just me. I don't know. They carry on and you're hoping for a clue, aren't you? You're hoping for the name of somebody else. You're hoping for a shared experience that you've both had, or that this person is talking about, so that suddenly it all clicks in your head. You're too embarrassed to actually stop them and say, "Sorry, who is this?" Sometimes that happens when it's somebody you don't know very well. But I tell you, if Jan, my wife, rings, I know, first word, and I know who it is. I hear her voice, I know her voice. I have a relationship with her that we've been constantly developing and working at. Alpha. He said, "Why didn't you use his words to guide us?" And I thought, wow, that's a good idea. So I went to my bookshelf to get the book off my shelf, because I knew I had the book on my shelf. Thought I had the book on my shelf, and it wasn't there. What am I going to do? Fortunately, there's the internet, and you can watch all the videos on the internet. And I realized that his headings are good, but perhaps the content needed to be tweaked a little bit. So here's my version using his headings plus one of my own headings. We've got six headings, all beginning with C, S. We're going to spend most time on the first two. This is about how God speaks to us. And the first one is commanding scripture. See, God's given us his word, the Bible, scripture. And through it, he speaks to us. You know this, right? This is basic stuff, isn't it? The Bible is a self-revelation of God. You know, here in the Bible, we read about the character and the nature of God. It's here that we find out that God is love. It's here that we find out that God is compassionate and gracious and abounding in love and faithfulness. And he's slow to anger and swift to bless. It's in the Bible that we read of what he's done. Creator and sustainer of the universe and all living things. Redeemer, you know, new creation comes through him. And so many names for the Lord, isn't there? Shepherd, we've already thought of. Redeemer, Savior, Lord, Almighty God, and so on and so forth. It's all there for us in Scripture. He speaks to us and reveals this to us. It's in the Bible that we read of his choosing of people and the relationship that he covenants with people. Never to leave them or forsake them. Always to bless. And that's the kind of relationship that we can enjoy with him. It's in the Bible that we find this out. It's in Scripture that we read of his desires for us and the plans that he has for us and his will for our lives. And of course, we read in the Bible of how he can speak to us because the Bible teaches us this. Hebrews 4 verse 12, the word of God is living and active. It penetrates to our inner being. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In other words, as we read the Bible, it reads us and speaks God's truth into our hearts. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that the person of God may be equipped for every good work. You see, God's telling us how he's going to speak to us through his word. Psalm 119, a magnum opus of a psalm celebrating God's word. Verse 105, you'll know these words I know. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a lamp for my path. You see, as we're walking along that path, as we're walking with God, his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Well, in some ways, I think that's enough said about commanding scripture. It's God's foremost way of speaking to us. And nothing else will gainsay the word of God. It's God's truth about him and for us. There is a saying, isn't there, that we are what we read. And I've seen evidence of this in my life, but people are shaped by what they read. I love my father-in-law to bits, and great, great man, but you avoided speaking politics with him, unless you happen to agree with him, of course. He read the Daily Mail, and some of you may read the Daily Mail, I don't know, but it just seems to me to stand out more so than perhaps other papers. His political views were shaped purely by this newspaper that he read, and he couldn't see anything else. You know, that whole aspect of his life was Daily Mail shaped. He was, politically speaking, what he read. Others read stuff on the internet, all the internet conspiracy theories, which then will shape the way we think about the world and make us suspicious about the world in which we live. Do you know what I mean? We are what we read. Well, God has given us the Bible to shape us according to his values. So my advice to you, read it and apply it. Commanding scripture. Secondly, the compelling spirit. Just love that word compelling here. This is the work that the Holy Spirit does in our hearts. This is the inner witness, if you like, the conviction, the sense of something being right and from God that we have. So Dave Watson, with his testimony, you know, opening the Bible, reading that scripture, probably as he'd done many times before, but on that occasion, this compelling, convicting moment, when the Holy Spirit adds his anointing, his presence, the weight of his glory to that reading. And suddenly the words have power to bless, don't they? And indeed change people's lives. So earlier we said that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth and brings the deeper things of God. You see, it's the Holy Spirit's work, that connecting, communicating thing from God, that brings that conviction and convinces us as we read Scripture. He brings the words of Scripture from the page into our hearts. You see, it's no longer just what we're reading and head knowledge. It's actually heart and life shaping. So the Holy Spirit highlights Scripture to our lives, but he's not confined to just this. He speaks in other ways too, as he gives his spiritual gifts to people. Now we'll speak about spiritual gifts a bit more in a week or two's time. They're listed in 1 Corinthians 12 as this in the New International Version: messages of wisdom, messages of knowledge, prophecy, speaking in different tongues and interpreting those tongues. So there might be those times when you're praying, either on your own or with others, and suddenly you'll get a real sense that God is speaking. Maybe something somebody else says, and suddenly it hits you. You may have heard those words 1,000 times before, but suddenly you get that sense that those words are for you. Or it may be that God lays on your heart something that he wants you to say to other people. Sometimes in the group, sometimes it's for an individual. Sometimes it's something you'll say, a sentence of words. Sometimes it's a scripture passage that suddenly pops into your mind. Sometimes it's an image or a picture or a story that you just know will convey a truth when you speak it out. And I just encourage you, when that happens to you, to share it. I mean, there's a risk that you haven't heard properly. There's a risk, isn't it? You're thinking, what has this picture of a daffodil got to do with whatever we're doing here? But actually, you know, that might just speak into somebody's heart, somebody who's there at that moment. And I think we'd rather encourage the risk than stay silent and someone missing out on that blessing of what you're about to share. And God uses all sorts of means, doesn't he? And all sorts of means to speak to us. So John spoke about a dream that he had. Others speak about visions that they have. These things are all promised in the Old Testament. In Joel, looking forward to the day of Pentecost, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Boom, John. Although you were young at the time, weren't you? Your young men will see visions. See, when it happens to me, and it doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen, my heart starts to pound. I get this heavy sensation that doesn't lift until I've shared whatever it is I feel I need to share. There's loads of examples in my life, but one that stands out, because probably one of the first times it happened to me, was as Jan and I were a part of a group of young marrieds, as we were called, and one of our friends was pregnant, and we were praying, and I had this real sense that God was asking me to pray protection on this friend for the coming months. Heart pounding, heavy sort of weight in my head, and so I blurted it out. That, you know, the Lord was just telling me that we need to pray protection on her. It sounded awful, really, because it sounded as if I was saying, you know, there's going to be problems ahead here. And maybe that's where it came across. I really don't know. But we prayed. And, you know, the next months were rocky for her. And she did threaten to miscarry. And yet, through it all, as we continued to pray, and we believed that God had spoken, it turned out she was okay. Just a simple example. I could have kept quiet. She probably still would have given birth to this child, and yet somehow God was saying, you know now that I'm part of this progress, this process of giving birth to this child. Now, it's not all plain sailing, all of this, is it? there's a danger that we will hear our own voice and not God's. There's a danger that we advance our own agenda and not God's. And that's why, in Scripture, you know, we read, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 19 of the first letter, he says, don't put out the Spirit's fire, so let's practice these things, but test everything. Hold on to the good and dump the evil. And John backed that up in his first letter, chapter 4, by saying, test the Spirit. And how do we test the Spirit? How do we test everything? Well, we test it in and through the Word of God. There we are back again to commanding Scripture. Nothing that the Spirit inspires in your heart will contradict the thrust of what is in Scripture. And indeed, every Spirit-inspired prompt will be rooted in Scripture. But it'll likely have that extra personal touch that makes it applicable to us today or to one person today. And a little test for yourselves before you speak these prompts. Just ask yourself, is it loving? Remember, God is love. If it comes from Him, it will be loving. And if it's about rebuking and correcting, it can still be said in a loving way. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul builds on this. He says, everyone who prophesies speaks to others for their strengthening, their encouragement, and their comfort, that the church may be edified. So again, if you get this sense of God wanting you to say something to an individual in a group or to the church, ask yourself, is it loving? Is it strengthening? Is it encouraging? Is it comforting? Is it edifying? Simple tests that will help us to develop these gifts. The compelling Spirit. The other four we can just rattle through. The counsel of the saints. Despite all that we've said, it is possible to have read Scripture, to have felt that inner witness and convinced yourself that for you to say something or a course of action is right in your life, but actually, it's not quite right. You're wrong. Your fine-tuning is out. You've misread the signs, perhaps. So what other resources do we have as a check? Well, look around. Look around, folks. Look on your screens at home, folks. The saints, the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Here is a pool of wisdom. People who can also weigh up what the Lord is saying. So if you feel compelled to share something, do it gently, not dogmatically. Ask if what you share resonates with others. So say, I have a sense this might be what the Lord's saying, rather than saying, thus says the Lord. Let the saints test it. And next is common sense, which is a God-given gift. If the sense you have doesn't seem right, it probably isn't. Use your common sense. Now, Rain talked about having this sense of peace in her heart about what the Lord was saying to her. And again, Scripture speaks of that. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You know, if that peace isn't there, then probably it's not the right thing to do or to say. Common sense. Next is circumstantial signs. These are circumstances coming together, coincidences that point in one direction. You wouldn't want to make huge decisions based on these alone. But once all the others are in place, once perhaps God's spoken to you through Scripture or through the Spirit or through other people or using your common sense and having that sense of peace, maybe signs will pull things together. As a fresh-faced student at college in my final year, you get invited to go and preach at other churches with the possibility of becoming the leader or the church minister, as it was in the Baptist world back then. And we've been asked to come and preach at Warwick, at Castle Hill Baptist Church, and I'd come for the first time and preached, and they wanted to explore the possibility of me becoming their minister. And it felt good, if I'm honest with you, as well. And so I was thinking that might be the right thing to do. But into this came two other requests to go and have a look at churches. I visited one on the Suffolk coast, But somehow didn't feel quite right for me. That was an assistant minister, and I felt perhaps I was ready to be a minister on my own, so I sort of dismissed that. But another one came, a letter written to me, and in this letter were the testimony of one of the leaders of the church who'd looked at my profile, and he had felt the Lord saying to him, "This is the man that we have in this church." It was a church in the East Midlands. So here am I thinking Warwick is the right place. Here is he thinking this church in the East Midlands is the right place for me. Do you know? What do you do? So, circumstantial signs. You'll laugh at this, but it meant a lot to me. Right. So I listened to the radio one day, and Dionne Warwick was singing on the radio. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, yeah, Dionne Warwick. And then on the TV, the Warwick Races were on the TV, a day or so later, I thought, oh, Warwick Races. And I just began to think then that maybe the Lord was saying, because it doesn't say in the Bible, Ian, go to Warwick. Do you know? The people around me at the time, they've got their own things to worry about, and they couldn't really help in that either. It was a sense of my own heart that Warwick was the right place to be. And just these circumstantial signs. I know it sounds stupid, but actually for me, they were just the right thing. And for me, that was perfect. Which leads me on to the last CS, which is the confirming say-so. That Nicky Gumbel's ones have run out now. This is mine, right? The confirming say-so. You can tell it's not quite as good as his, can't you? But let's say you've moved house. Let's say you've changed jobs or made some other decision about which church you should go to be minister at. And you've applied all those other things, and still at the bottom, there's just that little thing wondering whether you've done the right thing or not. Well, I found that graciously, the Lord then confirms to you that you've made the right choice by signs following. Things that just confirm that you are in His will. Blessings, that sense of peace, encouragements along the way. In all sorts of ways, the Lord confirms these decisions and these utterances that you'll make to you. Well, look, I've raced through those last ones, just wanting to focus on the main ways the Lord speaks: commanding scripture, compelling spirit. I just want to finish with a couple of thoughts. I guess from all I've said and the way we're thinking about this journey we're making, this walk with the Lord, that we might have the sense that God has, one direction for our lives, that every footstep, is marked out for us in a direction. And therefore, if we veer off or we miss a footstep, that maybe we'll miss out on blessing from the Lord. If we drift off course slightly, we're going to lose it somewhere out there. We're never going to find it again. Well, those of you who've got sat-nav in your car, I've got a good way of looking at this, perhaps. Because, if you take a wrong turn in your sat-nav in your car, this very patient voice says, recalculating route, and it finds another way for you to reach the same destination in the end. Are you hearing this? I hope you are. God, in His grace, will get you to your ultimate destination, no matter how many wrong turns you take. That's the Lord for you. See? Confirming sign up there. Dog barking is approval of what I've just said. Another thing is, there's lots of stories in the Bible of God speaking to people. And there isn't one definitive way that the Lord speaks. Can somebody shoot that dog out there? I'm only joking. There isn't one definitive way that the Lord speaks to us, is there, to people in the Bible? So Moses up the mountain, the storm, the tempest, the wind, but God's voice wasn't in those things. For Moses, it was in that still, small voice. To Paul on the Emmaus Road, it was a vision, suddenly, of the risen Lord, and his horse reared and threw him onto the floor. Dramatic. And and if you read the way through, there's everything in between. I think of little Samuel lying in bed at night and hearing the voice of the Lord, and so on and so forth. There's everything in between that still small voice and that whoa moment for Paul. No two are the same. Some of them were seeking the Lord at the time, some of them weren't. The point I'm making is that God speaks in different ways with different people to bring about his plans and purposes in your lives and in the lives of others through you. We need to be alert to how he speaks. And in conclusion, God speaks, and he speaks to us all. You know, in some ways, he's like the BBC. The BBC transmits and broadcasts 24/7. The only way you can watch or listen to the BBC is by tuning in. If your telly's off, you won't hear what they're broadcasting. If your radio is off, you won't hear what they're broadcasting. I encourage you to tune in to God speaking to you. In your prayer times, as you read the scriptures, in gatherings together, just ask him before you open your Bible to speak clearly to you. It may be something for your personal growth. It may be something that he'll give you to speak to another person. It may be something for the church. He uses a variety of means to get it across. But let's listen so that we can walk by the Spirit and get to the destination he has planned for us. Father, just thank you, Lord, that we don't walk alone through this life and on this journey with you. We thank you, Lord, that you do speak to us, Lord. We thank you that in the ways you speak to us, Lord, you make it possible for us to grow and deepen that relationship with you. You make it possible, Lord, for us to encourage and inspire and correct and rebuke others. You make it possible, Lord, for the church, Lord, your people, Lord, to develop and grow as we hear your voice. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to speak to us, but more importantly, that we would listen to you. Help us to do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.